Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening to this on an iOS device, please go to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. It really helps the show out. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson for about 20, almost 30 minutes now. We had all of our lovely $5 and up patrons here on the live stream. Listening to the pre-show, me and Larson power ranking various bands.
Their songs, yeah.
Their songs.
We'll get back to that for the post-show for sure.
Yeah, because that's a lot of fun.
It is.
We're also available on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We've got a couple designs. We're cooking up some new designs, some new Going In Raw designs.
That we should focus on Going In Raw variations.
Yeah, I know, me too. I had the same thought. We're on the same page. Programming note, this Sunday, if you guys are going to be checking out Hell in a Cell.
We will also be checking out Hell in a Cell, so let's all watch it together.
You can check that out with us.
Yeah. We'll be watching it. Camera will be on us. We'll give our reactions live, but at no point will the camera ever broadcast a single frame of the actual show. Extinguish your mind of that thought. It's
no
not going to happen.
Zero frames. We got zero frames.
On a couch, maybe some food, perhaps a beer or two.
Right.
No point will we ever show Hell in a Cell.
Correct.
I want to get that out there, out of the way, because people always ask, hey, turn the camera towards the TV. We can't do that.
I had a lot of people on the Twitter, at Real Going In Raw. I gotta get a little Stream Deck thing for our social up here, because I forget. Like, now the podcast is not showing up.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, WWE Network, they're offering me, like, the rest of the year for free to sign up to be a subscriber, and then after the year, like, they, you know, you can either cancel or keep going. And I'm like, yeah, why do you want to watch our camera go to our TV screen when all you have to do is go to WWE Network? You can probably literally get it for free, watch it with us. Hey, one of the things that they mentioned in that survey they sent out was theater mode, where you get to watch WWE Network stuff with your friends and it all be in sync.
Yeah.
That would be really cool for our live stream.
Yeah, I wonder how many people you can have in theater mode. Can you have 2,000 people?
I don't know, man.
Probably not, though.
Maybe not. I don't know. Will the we have a question here from our Patreon chat. Will the camera ever show nudity, asks Brock without the K, Lesnar. That's a possibility.
I don't even know what is he referring to?
Nudity.
I know what that is.
Naked people.
I understand that.
He asks if we're gonna show off our boo-boos or our dingus or our bollocks. Maybe b-hole. I don't know, man. Anything is possible. Probably not. It's probably a YouTube violation.
Definitely is.
Anyways, what are we here to talk about today, Larson?
205 Live and NXT.
Can we just talk about NXT?
You
205 Live was a hot steaming pile
wasn't
of crap.
That bad.
Dude, it opened with 13 minutes of Kalisto trying
to
talk.
Yeah, that wasn't the high point of the show.
No, it wasn't, but it put me to sleep. I wanted a super kick. I really am firmly behind Enzo at this point,
really?
Just because of Kalisto.
Well, you do know that Kalisto is a placeholder feud. He's not taking that belt from Enzo. This is what I
sure hope. I sure hope
this
not.
This is what I suspect is going to happen, is they're going to bring in every now and again new people.
Yeah.
Like Kalisto. Maybe, I don't know who else. A couple other people.
Okay.
I can't name anybody, but this is my idea. And eventually building
this is
up.
All confirmed?
No. Building up to a pretty major debut on 205 Live.
Right.
It's not going to be Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And probably not even someone of on that level, but a major player in the cruiserweight world.
I don't know who this mystical person is. We've racked our brains.
This is my dream booking.
Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, or Hideo Itami.
Something like that.
Yeah, I know, but are they like big enough names to...
I think Gargano would be.
Well, to us. You think to like the general crowd? Boy, that'd be great. I would love Johnny Gargano.
Who better to take that belt off Enzo than Johnny Wrestling? Literally professional wrestling, technical wrestling personified.
Roderick Strong.
Or him.
Boy, I love Roderick Strong. Can we just talk about NXT?
Well, let's get through 205 Live. This is the 205 Live NXT.
So, Kalisto comes out, and for 13 minutes, him and Enzo talk, and I wanted to shoot myself in the head. Kalisto, he just, dude, if they let him wrestle like he did on NXT, then I'd be pretty much...
Well, I thought his match against Daivari was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't what he used to do in NXT. It was okay. But he came out to open the show, and he was putting over the cruiserweights. They're all very hardworking. I'm a babyface. Look at me. I got this crazy new outfit. And then Enzo comes out, and he says, you're garbage. And Kalisto couldn't hold a freaking candle to Enzo's promo skills. Enzo was literally laughing half the time. He was laughing off his promo skills. I don't know. I was not into it.
I really wasn't into it either.
Firmly. I'm firmly anti-Kalisto at this point.
But Enzo brought out Daivari.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they had a match, Kalisto and Daivari. It was good. Daivari had a really good showing, especially. He delivered a great, great, great spine buster.
That was good.
And then a frog splash, but only got a two count.
I wonder if the writers from 205 Live have to reconcile with whoever's writing Raw, because... Enzo ran down Daivari on Raw talking about Versace, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Even though on 205 Live, Daivari had, like, pledged his allegiance to Enzo. And then on 205 Live, following that Raw where he had already run down Daivari, he says, he praised Daivari and said, regardless of what I may have said on Raw, I wonder if the writing staffs have to, like, you know, be...
Collaborate or don't collaborate?
Bit more on the same page.
Well, they should be on the same page.
You would think so, but...
If they want to create one cohesive universe.
You would think that, you know, Vince or whoever is hands-on with Raw would just say, all right, 205 Live writers, this is what I want to accomplish. You know your universe. You know your roster. You know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Write accordingly.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's writing Enzo anyway, so...
Yeah, probably not.
It'd be good if they just said, hey, he probably shouldn't run down Daivari. Now he's got to run them all down. Right, but Daivari already said, okay.
Well, then how about this? Let's have everybody in the cruiserweight division out there except Daivari.
Right, exactly. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
Kalisto picked up the win with the Salida del Sol, so they're booking him strong until he loses at TLC.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you this then, Mr. Placeholder Feud. How long is this placehold feud going
to
go?
Well, I guess it'll have to be till the Rumble. Yeah. Well, this pay-per-view, and then they'll build up another feud for the Rumble. Man.
It's going to kill. I mean, any progress that they might have been making with 205 Live with the Enzo thing is going to be killed because of Kalisto. It's not a realistic feud. Like, he can't.
I wonder if... here's an alternative. I'm just going to put this out there. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. But what if they want to prolong it, or if they just want to add some more heat to this feud, get Neville involved. And, like, his ulterior motive is to have Kalisto win so he can get the belt off him.
Well, 205 Live is good at incorporating multi-person storylines, not just one-on-one storylines. We see that right now with Cedric Alexander and versus Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick. Yeah. Yes. So, speaking of them, there was a recap for the Kendrick-Gallagher thing.
Yeah.
And
still not really convinced of Jack Gallagher as this heel character.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get to this stuff.
He really needs new music.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It was the old music.
Because he came out in his suit. He was ready to fight in the suit.
But it was the same music he had before.
It should be like distorted version of Dante.
Brooding. Angry.
Like, you know, in GarageBand, you could do like the little filter thing where you slow it down.
Put it in reverse.
Put it in reverse, yeah.
Distortion and industrial
like
drums.
Like an ominous backwards voice saying, Jack Gallagher will kill you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Blood is on its way. Anyways.
He's just not menacing, really.
I was happy about... Yeah, maybe. You know, there's like a whole documentary coming out on that guy.
Oh, really?
Like a movie of some sort.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they're like, I don't know what his story is to warrant him having a documentary, but maybe it's pretty interesting.
Could be.
I don't know. I wish it was kayfabe. Next up, Drew Gulak came out and delivered a promo where he once again got to go back to his PowerPoint presentation. I say this every week. What do I say? I love Drew Gulak. I think he's fantastic.
He's great.
He was a bright spot on 205 Live. But again, kind of just a repetition of what we saw last week. He came out, did the PowerPoint thing, no flipping. And then he was interrupted by Mustafa Ali, who I love. I love
Mustafa. Oh, he's great.
I think he's a fan. He's like one of the best wrestlers.
Have you ever seen do you follow him on Twitter? Every once in a while, he'll post training videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
awesome.
No, it's great.
He's so smooth in yeah. the ring.
That's fantastic.
So it was Gulak versus Mustafa Ali. Kira Tozawa brought out a steel chair, sat on the top of the ramp, and would on occasion lead the crowd in some chants because Gulak's thing now is no chanting.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this would constantly distract yeah. Mr. Gulak. So one of those distractions eventually led to Ali picking up the win with an inverted 450, and then after the match, Tozawa went down the ring, got on the mic, and was like chanting directly in his face. Mm-hmm, that yeah. was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. That was okay. That was a bright spot.
And since Drew's proposal this week was no flipping, Ali really busted out all the high-flying moves.
A lot of flips.
It was great.
A lot of flips. We're going to talk about best flippers on our debate show.
Yeah.
Friday, tomorrow. Nice. Good for us. Let's see here. So, yeah, that was good. It was okay.
That was good. And then Brian Kendrick had a backstage interview or promo, and he said that he stood with Enzo.
Yeah.
He supports Enzo now because at one point he was in that position himself.
Even though he got called a hobo. You look like a hobo, you schmuck.
On Tuesday, he was wearing his Hound's Tooth pants, and those are awesome.
Yeah.
With the iridescent background.
I love iridescence. But anyways, I think it's the scar. What do you think like Enzo was referring to? I think it was like the scarves slash, I mean, I know he's got a goatee.
With the worn leather jacket?
Yeah, the worn leather jacket for sure. Kind of hobo-ish.
There's nothing hobo about Brian Kendrick's wide array of awesome pants.
I agree with the pants thing.
He has the best pants in all of wrestling.
But, you know, he's just a hobo with good pants.
So?
Gotta be really careful how you say that. Next up we had, oh yeah, so during that promo where Kendrick was talking about he wanted to see Jack Gallagher, quote, drink Cedric's milkshake.
Referencing There'll Be Blood.
You have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw that goes all the way to your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. Kendrick came out of nowhere and started beating the crap out of
Cedric.
What'd I say? Cedric Alexander. Came out and started beating the crap out of Brian Kendrick. That was rad. That was cool.
Yeah.
So we see a new Edge.
An aggressive
Cedric Alexander. And we saw that during his match. I liked this. Cedric Alexander comes down to his, I got no waste on that ball, to his music. And he's a man
seething.
On a mission.
He is seething.
He's a man on a mission.
It's great.
And Jack Gallagher betrays just a little bit of, oh, I'm freaked out right now.
I know.
As he's walking down, because he notices that he's not hugging babies and slapping hands and everything.
He's focused on kicking some butt.
And Jack Gallagher's like paying attention. Like, why is he just walking straight to me? I'm supposed to be the scary one. And right now I'm really kind of creeped out. But he didn't oversell it. I just sort of noticed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cedric Alexander goes in there. They have a bit of a match, and at one point, Jack Gallagher throws a, what is he called? What was the name of the, William?
William the Third.
William
the Umbrella.
Third, the Umbrella. And it was a great moment. This is a really good spot where Gallagher goes to retrieve it as he's getting in the ring, and Cedric just stomps on it, you know, holding it down, picks it up, and he's doing this, and the ref is telling him, don't do it, Cedric, don't do it. And you hear Jack Gallagher yell, he has a weapon! Right when he does that, Cedric destroys that damn yeah. umbrella all over Jack Gallagher, just annihilates
great.
Him.
It was fantastic.
Ref calls a DQ. Jack Gallagher technically wins, but man, he got his ass whooped
yep.
by William III and Cedric Alexander. So now we see Cedric on the offensive, being aggressive. I like that version of Cedric Alexander. I kind of wish that there was a bit more of a breaking point to lead to this, but I'm not going to complain about them taking the fast track on storylines.
Yes.
So.
After the match, Brian Kendrick kind of limps out to the ring,
mm-hmm.
and that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even notice this. Connor O'Farrell in chat here says, I popped so hard when Drew tried to stop Ali from hitting the 450 on Enzo last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. That's great.
Yeah, he had to be convinced.
That's so funny. All right, nice. Now we get to talk about NXT. That was quick. It was just, dude, there's nothing. It was all kind of repetitive, man. Like, we got 15 minutes of Kalisto.
I know. There wasn't a great deal of story development, but the matches were good.
Well, the match was good. Mustafa Ali, Drew Gulak.
But the Cedric Alexander, Jack Gallagher stuff was good.
Well, yeah, it was okay.
That was story development. Aggressive Cedric. That,
it was story development, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. One enough. NXT. Opened up. How do they pack so much?
They really do.
Dude.
And the main event was about a half hour.
And the main event was a half hour, and they still managed to pack in so much.
Yep.
Ooh. We kick things off with Ruby Riott versus Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the iconic duo. The iconic duo. Oh, man. I forgot. I was loving Nigel McGuinness on 205 Live because something happened. I forgot what it was. I think it was Cedric Alexander when he was going ape shit on Jack Gallagher, maybe. And Nigel McGuinness... like was saying, everybody get out of the way, because they were like coming near him, and he ducks down and stuff. I don't know. I thought it was really funny. He was like overselling. What
yeah,
was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
It was cool. Let's see here. Ruby Riott.
So this is a rematch. Of
I love Ruby Riott.
Match
man.
That happened what 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Riott again takes on the iconic duo by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Nikki Cross appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Probably through the crowd. Yeah. And gets up on the apron in Ruby's corner.
Well, the match was going on for a while, and Ruby Riott was actually for
holding her own. Yeah,
the first big them, yeah. chunk of the match, she was really like almost dominating. She was working the because it was a tag format.
Handicap. That springboard senton thing she did was awesome.
That was really really cool. That was really really cool. I was like, God, how did she not kill Peyton Royce just then? Because mm-hmm. she like landed right on her. So she was, but then the numbers game was too much for her. She wasn't able to get out of their corner. They were really taking advantage of that. And then you see Nikki Cross, that big old weird smile on her face, like, ooh. She creeps in. Eventually, they come towards her. Ruby got the sort of a hot tag on her.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross comes in, just starts blowing up both of them, and eventually gets tags back in Ruby, and.
She gets the pin after kicking Billie Kay.
I forget what that's called, that kick.
Yeah, I don't know either. I forget. They've never really named it.
I think they didn't have a name for her last night.
Mm-mm.
I thought they did. Anyways, I thought it was really cool. I mean, maybe a bit repetitive from what we've seen before, but I'm never going to say no to
they had a bit of a
any
moment,
of these competitors.
A bit of a moment after the match, whereas the first time...
there was a little nod.
Nikki just got off the apron and left.
Right, yeah. So there was a little bit of a nod. So I like that... like I said, I'm never going to say no to anything involving any of these four.
Mm-hmm.
I love them all. They're mm-hmm. all great.
They're all great.
Next up, one of my highlights, awesome. Lars Sullivan interview. He might be like the best promo guy in the NXT right now. He's fantastic. He's great. And his deal is, so he's like a Hulk guy.
Yeah.
Because everybody's scared of him losing control.
Yeah, and he does at times, but...
he claims that everything he does, he's perfectly in control. What a great gimmick.
I know.
It's not a job. It's not a profession. It's him seemingly like being in control of his rage, but obviously not in control of his rage.
And his promos are great because he's so soft-spoken.
He is so soft-spoken, verbose, and articulate. It's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Just a complete walking contradiction.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's fantastic. And he looks like somebody out of the 1930s.
Oh, he's massive. Huge.
He's fantastic. God dang it, I love
him. Next, we had a Zelina Vega press conference as she was walking to the Performance Center.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well, I'm glad that... she's great. I love that there was no... I love and I don't love that there was no fake microphones.
Yeah.
There was no...
it was all off camera.
There were no audio devices that were clearly turned off while that she was trying
in
to do
it. Camera view. But she was going on about how now that Andrade Cien Almas is focused because of her, that he's looking to get a title shot.
Right. I think I might have got rid of it. Yeah, there's no... Lars Sullivan ass. Only when Lars Sullivan actually comes out and shows his ass will I show the ass.
Okay. Isn't it on the second?
No, it's on here. It's just not on there.
Oh,
I deleted off the
gotcha.
Thing. I know I shouldn't have.
So, another good segment. Next, Aleister Black taking on the debuting Lio Rush.
What do you think about this? Lio Rush comes out. People pop for him.
Yeah.
They let him keep his name.
Yeah.
Looks like $1 million.
Even someone referred to him as the man of the hour.
Yeah. Percy did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
They also made a point of saying that he was, 5'6", 160 pounds or something like that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's only 20 years old.
I know.
That's insane. Could you imagine a match between him and Tyler Bate?
Oh, it's going to be incredible.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to be huge for 205 Live.
Yes. Which is why I thought they mentioned his size and weight. Yeah.
Could be. Which is totally fine. That'd be great for 205 Live. Anyways, he's in there. And then Aleister Black, his music hits. massive star. Like halfway down the ramp, Patrick Clark out of nowhere annihilates, I think, his old tag partner, right?
Yeah, Leo Rush. Yeah. Yeah, in Maryland or somewhere back east.
Yeah. Annihilates Leo Rush, dumps him out of the ring.
He keeps on yelling to Aleister, pay attention to me.
Well, the look on Aleister Black's face when he's down the ramp was like there was just a slight curiosity on his face. He gets in the ring, sits down, and that just beguiles Patrick. Like, he's so bummed out. Velveteen Dream, sorry, is so annoyed with this. And that's like part of the crux of their thing is he's the Velveteen Dream. But last week, Aleister Black referred to him as Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
As Patrick, which is great.
I know, it's fantastic.
And so Velveteen Dream just wants him to pay it. He says, what's my name? Say my name. I'm going to make you say my name.
And he goes, pay attention to me.
Oh, I love it so much. Good. It's so great. Patrick Clark is quickly becoming one of my favorites, dude. I'm telling you, there's so much great stuff in NXT right now. And I know a lot of people. It always bugs the crap out of me when people say, no, it's not as good as it used to be. I'm sorry. I love the characters they have.
I think their character development is way better than it was year or two ago.
I was watching when... granted, I was not watching when it was Sammy, Neville, and Bo Dallas. I was not watching then. It might have been a million. And you had the Four Horsewomen there. I totally get that. But, like, there was that period of time when it was Finn Balor. And what's the knock always on Finn? Like, we love Finn. He's the coolest looking guy in the room.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on there.
They don't really let him do what I know he can do.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like there's normal Finn, who's the coolest dude because he's got that jacket and just carries himself like the coolest dude. And there's Demon Finn, which is the theatrics, but it's not a whole lot behind it.
But when he talks, there's nothing.
There's not a whole lot there. Yeah,
there's not a whole lot.
There's not
there.
A lot of substance there. I'm not trying to say that he's not and smart. He seems like a very bright
during
guy.
During his 290 whatever day reign as NXT champion, they never really developed any of that. You know, it was just Finn, and there's a demon, and then he was really cool.
The amount of character development that happened in the main event last night. With Drew,
mm-hmm.
That was like 3 months worth of character development for Finn when he was champion.
I know. There was never a lot of, and part of it is, you know, they bring Finn in, and he's kind of already established as a guy. Samoa Joe's already established. Shinsuke's already established. So I kind of get that. Like Kevin Owens was just a walking character, anyways.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sorry, they got all these great characters, and I'm loving it right now.
Yes,
I'm absolutely loving it right now.
Me too.
Next. Yeah, that's definitely a high spot for me.
Next, Kairi Sane making her NXT Arena, Full Sail Arena debut, taking on Aaliyah. Aaliyah had a bit of more of an aggressive edge to her.
Yeah, man, they're not using her, so she's probably mad.
Could be.
Nobody's gonna play face to Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
And so somebody had to be heel, and that's going to be Aaliyah because she was going to lose. But
she still had a good showing.
No, she had a really good showing, and I thought that her in ring stuff has improved greatly since, you know, the last time we saw her, which it's been a while.
Yeah.
But Kairi Sane's great, man. She's great. That elbow still. I mean, it's great. Her and Patrick Clark, her and the Dream, both get up there so high with that elbow.
Oh,
and
I
they
know.
Make
oh, Patrick
it look
Clark's
so cool.
Elbow is insane.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
He
insane.
Gets so much air. Yeah. It's crazy. But anyways, yeah, she won with her insane elbow. It was cool. It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Then we had a 30-minute match, Roderick Strong versus
a takeover
Drew
quality.
Oh, this was absolutely
was great.
This was fantastic, dude. It was brutal. Went outside the ring. There was that great spot where Drew did like a slam onto the stairs.
Oh, the backbreaker.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Roderick hit a slam on Drew. Yeah, the backbreaker on the stairs. That was fantastic. Karen apparently said that it dented the stairs.
Yeah.
Because she was in. She was
crazy.
Marking out when Kairi Sane came out, too.
I guess you'd call the ring post bomb that Drew did on Roderick was insane.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was like, God, how is he not dead right now?
I know.
Drew looks amazing.
Yeah.
Rod, it's funny. I mentioned this on the daily today or for tomorrow. I forget which one.
Today,
yeah, it was today. How Drew, when they started out, like the ring announcements were going on, Drew is literally kneeling, and he was almost as tall as Roderick Strong. But here's the thing about Roderick Strong is that he has these matches, and this is going to be the problem with Adam Cole, baby. Because Adam Cole he was a good storyteller.
Yeah.
He was a really good storyteller. Wasn't like the best wrestler in the world. Roderick Strong, I'm convinced, is like Is he like top three wrestler in the WWE right now?
Well, I think what Roderick Strong benefits from is that he's got a... His arsenal is very defined, and he's got a very clear path that he takes to victory.
Mm-hmm.
And he manages to execute his strategy regardless of who he's facing. He works for his opponent's back.
Yeah.
And regardless if his opponent's 5 feet tall or 7 feet tall, seems like he can do it. It's believable.
Yeah.
Whereas Adam Cole, just his offense just doesn't seem as convincing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like if Roderick Strong starts working someone's back, you know, that's a good way to get, you know, a taller man to weaken them is by taking their back or leg.
Yeah.
Whereas Adam Cole, I don't really see the same definition in terms of his arsenal or his offense.
Mm-hmm.
He just kicks and does a bunch of knees and stuff. But like he's not going to do his you know, what was his finisher, the last shot on Drew. He can't do that.
Well, if he has him down on a knee.
No, his finisher is like a suplex and he drops.
Oh, the last shot. Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
I doubt that's even going to be his finisher.
No, I know. I mean, he did the Shining Wizard on Eric Young, but it's kind of disappointing they just did that.
Yeah, I know. But I would really doubt they're going to let him do it. That last shot, that's not a WWE approved. Does anybody else do anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like a shoulder breaker, brain buster on your knee.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. I'm just saying because Drew is so massive.
I know, but that's kind of the thing also, is that they have to be smart enough to be like, all right, half of our roster. Here's the thing. Any big name you bring into NXT, and I totally get that we've said a million times it's not realistic. But you need to develop their arsenal to the point that they could get in there with. And I always look up to the biggest guys, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman. It has to be at least kind of conceivable that you can hang with them in some manner.
Yeah.
Because why else are you in the WWE?
Yeah.
If you can't, then it's not realistic. Like, why are they bringing you as a big name? Like, Lio Rush is not going to matter because we know that Lio Rush isn't going to have, like, Universal. Look, he's only 20 years old. So there's like the entire world. But at this stage, they don't have Universal Championship aspirations for him. Aleister Black is believable.
Oh, yeah.
Drew McIntyre, obviously, believable. Adam Cole, they bring in as a huge name. You have to make his arsenal at least believable that he can hang with those types.
I feel like it would be beneficial for him to add about 10 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like anything would be better than what it's at now.
He's in probably the best shape I've seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
But he needs to bulk up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or it looks like even Finn Balor's not large, but he's got enough bulk on him that if, you know, you see him in the ring against Brock Lesnar, he's overmatched.
Yeah.
But based on his style, which is very defined, and just the way he carries himself and the way his physique looks, you can maybe put it together that, okay, maybe he has a chance.
Sure, yeah.
I don't see that right
chipping
now.
Chipping away. Yeah. He's got...
I mean, Finn's arsenal is rooted in drop kicks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know? That's,
exactly.
That's a ranged attack.
That's, yeah.
He doesn't have to get close to do that.
Right.
But I can't see that for Adam Cole yet.
I know.
That's why he's going to NXT.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I don't know.
Getting back to this match, though, another thing that I love about Roderick Strong sells so believably. It's not like a Dolph Ziggler where he sells like he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
I believe everything that happens to Roderick Strong, and I believe that there isn't... It takes everything you have to keep him down.
Yeah.
And he's able to get that out of his opponents in whatever match he's in, and it's remarkable, and you always think that he has a shot.
Yeah.
Even though he's so much smaller than Drew and half the guys in the WWE. And I love it to death. It's so, like, every time I watch the match, I'm like, every time he opens his mouth, I kind of cringe because he's not a great promo guy. He's kind of dorky. But man, I'm sold so hardcore in his wrestling.
His style is great. His pace is fantastic.
And his pace, his style, his selling. It all, that's in, all
in-ring storytelling is really
that's
good.
That's all character enough.
Yes.
You know, like I don't, he can talk, he can not talk. And that it kind of elevates his promos a little bit because it's like, it's kind of a Dean Malenko thing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like a Dean Malenko.
Yeah. That's a good comparison.
You know, I was thinking that when I saw the end, I was like, man, this is like a freaking Dean Malenko thing. You know?
Yeah. So the finish of the match, Drew hit that ring post bomb. They wrestled a bit more, and then Drew got him in the future shock, and he dropped him. He kind of held on to him for a little bit, and then he got up, got in position for the Claymore, and he acted like he was hesitant about doing it. But
he knew, I love that spot.
He knew that's what he had to do to keep onto that belt.
And that also goes a long way towards Drew. You know, I mean, Roger.
It was like he's saying, "I'm sorry, I have to do this."
You're right. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. Because there's like, and maybe I'm reading into it, but with Drew, there's always a little bit of delight in anything Drew does. Like you get the feeling that he's delighted to be there.
Yeah.
And so it's like he doesn't want this battle to end. Not just I have to finish off Roddy, who I respect the hell out of, but I'm going to. But also, this is what it's all about. And now I'm sad that I have to do this and finish it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's how I read it too. And I freaking love that. Yeah. I absolutely love it. It was a half hour match.
It was good.
And it was, like you said, takeover worthy. It was fantastic. So.
After the match, Roderick starts going up the ramp, and he is met by the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole gets in his face.
He backed up into a hug, or an arm being slung. He's like backing up because he's mad that he lost the match, but he knows that he gave it his all. And then Undisputed Era like sneaks out there. They're so tiny that you can't even hear him walk. He can't hear because he was surprised. Like he puts it, he's like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
He's like, "How are you so quiet?"
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you weigh 130 pounds.
And Adam Cole's in his face and saying, like, "You know where you belong."
He's like, "Hey, we need another little guy." Yeah. So we're not going to talk about the next set of tapings. Our daily episode that went up today already involves it, and we give a full spoiler alert. So we talk about where we think that's going to go. NXT is one of the things. Like, we even have a question on our questions thread that I literally responded to in writing on the Patreon there. Because when people say, "Hey, NXT is the unique show where we can't really say, well, where do you think this is going to go?" For the most part, simply because we know where it's going to go.
Especially when we record the show the day after the TV taping.
Exactly. The tapings have already happened, so we know some of the spoilers. So we're not going to get into that because, like, it's not fair to speculate. Some people just like to watch it the way it is.
Yep.
And even I, like, you know, I didn't read all the spoilers. He told me some of them. But, you know, I do like to be surprised as much as I can.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to know any spoilers about Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream. I don't want to know. I'm thoroughly entertained by that stuff. So, but it's funny. I knew about the Leo Rush thing.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Like, with the Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black, it's like, no, it's so much better when you see it, mm-hmm. and describing it can't do it justice.
Oh, no. I mean, usually if I look at spoilers.
Patrick Clark is so good.
If I look at spoilers, it's literally just this person, this versus this person.
Mm-hmm.
This
is the person. Oh, yeah.
It's just results.
Because sometimes I do that too, and I forget about it by the time it happens.
Exactly.
But damn it, Patrick Clark is so great.
He is.
He's fantastic.
You want to open some mail?
Yeah, let's open some mail.
I can't tell who this is from.
Coming from maybe I'll find out if I look inside.
It's from M Sync. Hello, Steven Larson. I have a quick question for you. With WWE now fully in their new era, do you think Vince is trying to go out with one last bang of an era, and that being a real era or some other variation of words? All of the eras that I could recall were for something very specific. Attitude to beat WCW, ruthless aggression to show dominance after buying WCW and ECW, PG to become a publicly traded company, and with the recent upswing in shoot and work shoot promos, Roman and his failed drug test, Brock's talk and tease of return to UFC, Cena pointing out Roman's failure to get over with the fans, Enzo's backstage issues and heels with valid points got me to thinking that maybe Vince is wanting to weave dirt sheets, rumors, and news into storylines for more creditable kayfabe, thus reinventing kayfabe and making kayfabe relevant again. I mean, what Triple H a couple years ago called it, the reality era.
That's dope. Did we just get a question, like just straight up a question in the mail?
Yep.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. From M Sync.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Triple H said a year or two ago, was that we're in the reality era now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, they're taking advantage of the proliferation of internet wrestling news and trying to use it for their advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is coming to us from Michael. I don't know what the last name is, but it's from Michael. Seeing as it was both of your birthdays recently, I thought I'd send you a box of Irish treats.
Oh.
The sweets, crisps, and drink are very popular in Ireland. Also, no birthday can be complete without some wrestling figures. Hope you enjoy the food and drink. I have a question for you both. I hope you don't mind. I was thinking which WWE star should have their own cartoon or TV show, and what should it be about? I would love to see a Scooby-Doo type cartoon, but with Bray Wyatt. As long as Steve is hired to do Bray's voice, man. You damn kids. Always thwarting my plans. Hey, Luke Harper, go get that dog, man. Look at that dirty hippie.
What about a Fashion Police cartoon?
Oh, that'd be great. And a lot of them, I want an Aleister Black anime.
Oh, that'd be good.
That'd be fantastic. All right, let's see what we got here from Ireland. From Ireland. Oh, man, look at that. The original Irish Carmels. Ooh. Emerald. You guys can send us stuff at P.O. Box 1814 Orangevale, California.
It makes me wish I ate
95662.
Ooh.
Is this some Guinness?
That's Guinness.
Nice.
Awesome.
I love the Guinness.
Same here. Crisps.
Tato, salt and vinegar crisp.
Oh, yummy.
Tato. Tato, I get it. It's like potato.
Yep. Is that another Guinness?
I think so, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm drinking this on Sunday.
Awesome.
Another Guinness.
Cool.
Ooh, what's this? Oh no, the chocolate got loose. Galaxy smooth soda.
I've always heard that
dairy milk.
Chocolate from Europe is way better than American chocolate.
You know, it's different.
Yeah.
And I was not a fan of different chocolate when I was a kid. And I think to this day, I'm still like, nah, I like ours better. But I heard that too. Another cheese and onion Taito. Oh, I got a couple of wrestling figures.
Oh, cool.
Got here. 619. Undertaker.
Legacy.
Looks like from, 28?
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good Undertaker face.
And then, John Cena sucks.
All right, we got one more from...
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much. David Fishkin, would you like to read a letter? Oh, look at that. Got an Oscar mask.
Oh, wow, look at that. That's rad.
And a Mick Foley pop figure.
Nice. He's going to go over there.
Read letter.
People are going to be in the comments. Oh.
Read letter.
People are going to be in the comments. Why did you open that? It's worth like $100. Hey, friendos. David Fishkin here. Wanted to show my appreciation for the many hours you guys spend bringing all us friendos entertainment and wrestling fun. I went to my first NXT Live house show,
cool.
And it was a blast. I bought myself a few souvenirs and figured you could use more decorative things for the Going In Raw daily set. So inside is an Asuka mask. Hope you all have a nice day as well. Too sweet to Steve, and a handshake for Larson.
Try a chip or crisp.
All right.
It's very mildly flavored. Very light.
Which one's that?
Salt and vinegar.
Oh, I love salt and vinegar. That's good stuff.
It's very light. It's not nice. Overly vinegar flavored.
Nice. Beautiful. You want to answer some questions?
Sure.
All right.
CM Punk finds it insulting. Would casual fans like the main roster product better if it was booked similar to NXT with a heightened focus on the wrestling and allowing performers to wrestle their own style? Or do casual fans not care that much about the wrestling and prefer backstage segments and in-ring promos?
Casual fans? I suspect casual fans would be in it more for the personalities and the stories. That's my suspicion.
Agreed.
But yeah. At the same time, if you're there live, if you're like, oh, WWE's coming to town, they still do that? That's what somebody asked me when I was getting like a haircut or something during, like we were about it was that weekend.
And you told them what you did for a living?
No, they were just like, so what are you doing this weekend? Well, I eventually did. What are you doing this weekend? I was like, going to a WWE show. And they're like, really? They still do that? And I was like, yeah, that's how I make my living is by talking about it. And then I do a conversation I really didn't want to get into. I don't like talking to people very much. They always ask me questions when I'm getting my haircut. Or any other place, and I'm just like, I don't want to talk.
I'm sure it makes the time pass by faster.
I talk enough during the day. All right.
Sorry, I'm chewing right now.
Dan Boss. I haven't said Dan Boss's name in a while.
It's been a while.
Hey, Dan Boss. He says, obvious question, but how excited are you guys for Triple H to be in charge of War Games? Hey, got a great idea, Dad.
Very.
I want to bring back War Games. What's that? Said, well, you got a bunch of different... Really? You don't know what that is? WCW. I find it funny that you know what it is, Vince.
There you go.
Dad. Yeah, I'm very excited about that. And Triple H seems very excited about it, yeah, which is what matters. He's going to be like, all right, this is, here we go. Step 35. You're going to come off the cage, and then you're going to go into the second ring. Are you guys writing this down?
Well, there's only one cage.
He outlines the story.
He's got his legal pad.
Action figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. If you had to do something to Kalisto's personality or character, what would you add?
A personality or character.
Focus just pretty much on his in-ring ability and have him tout his skills in the ring.
Have him not talk at all, ever. Have him be, you know, something about a guy who doesn't talk. You know? Adds mystique. Kalisto. Lachlan Shrek. Hi, guys. As the new taping for NXT has been released, I accidentally had something spoiled for me through a headline. Don't worry, I won't say what it was. But anyways, I was wondering for you guys, what was the biggest things you've had spoiled for you during your wrestling fandom?
Brock Lesnar's return, because WWE tweeted about it. Or CM Punk tweeted a picture with Heyman or something like that.
That's a good one. When Bobby Roode's debut, I think that was the first big NXT spoiler that I was like, oh, really? Like, I didn't want to know. I wanted to know it afterwards. It was like when he debuted it. Was it that one? No, maybe it was something else.
Because he debuted at a TakeOver.
Yeah, I know. When he was in the crowd, so we all knew it was coming. There was something else then, an NXT one. But, I mean, the biggest one was when WWF bought WCW, because we got the West Coast feed, but WWE.com, WWF.com at the time, they would be posting the results based on the East Coast feed.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of trying to actively, because we never figured, we were just like, oh, what's the latest on WWF? We'll go to WWF.com on a Monday afternoon, and boom, there's Vince and Shane on the Nitro set. They did the split screen thing, and it was a huge markout moment because it was like, oh my God, that's mind blowing. That makes me want to watch even more. And so I wasn't necessarily disappointed by the spoiler, but it was definitely a spoiler.
WCW spoiling Mick Foley's title win on Nitro.
Yeah, there's that too.
Discord Club Predictor Tyler Farrar, Power Rank.
Pop, 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 pow.
The next five superstars to join the ranks of 205 Live. Now, this is just people that are going to go there soon or people we want to go there, period.
I appreciate that Thayer Thabata responded. Oh, and number four was Adam Mayhem.
Yes.
Chaos on Claude Avenue coming up soon.
Saturday.
Is it Saturday?
Saturday.
I think it's on Watt Avenue.
Yeah. So let's just do
Chaos on Claude Street.
Five.
I really need to make a shirt for Chaos on Claude Street and wear it to that particular showdown.
Five people that we want to be on 205 Live. Not necessarily people that are going to.
There's a couple here. The top three are my top three. Yeah, Johnny Gargano, Leo Rush, and Hideo Itami.
And I'd also include Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, I wouldn't.
If Gargano's going to go there. I know. I've seen Ciampa's ability to bulk up and be a heavyweight.
Yeah, dude. He's a heavyweight. In my mind, he's a heavyweight. In my mind, Gargano's a small guy.
Well, he is.
Yeah. How tall is Ciampa?
Oh, probably like 5'10". 5'9", 5'10".
Boy, that's small. He's shorter than Adam Cole, Bebe?
Maybe, I don't know. Let's see what internet says. Internet says 5'11".
Kyle O'Reilly. I would doubt that they're going to break up Redragon or the Undisputed Era. But if any of those three guys were to go to 205, I'd love to see Kyle O'Reilly.
Ciampa is the same height as Adam Cole. They say Adam Cole's 210 pounds.
What?
I know.
That's not true.
How much do you think he weighs? Look at me. I weigh 165 pounds.
You think you're taller than Adam Cole?
Well, he's built a 5'11". I'm 5'10 and a half. So we're roughly the same height.
You're probably the same height.
We've seen him in person. We've seen him live in person at that PWG event we went to in February.
I'd say he's got 10 pounds of muscle on you.
So 175-ish?
Yeah.
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 That sounds right.
Yeah.
Because he has some pectoral muscles.
He also has, I'll give him credit, he does have some thick thighs.
Yeah.
He has some muscular thighs.
All right.
But his arm, especially on this week's episode, looked about the same size as mine.
I know, man. I know. He looked like a CalFit fitness. Mm-hmm. I say fitness guru. I just mean fitness instructor. You know? That guy asks, will Cassius Ohno be WWE champion when Triple H finally takes over?
And Sarah Tabata has the correct answer. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I would love it. Don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think Triple H is such a mark that he'd do that. I would love it. I would love it. Not going to happen.
Mid-card champ seems maybe more likely.
Oh, he'd be the greatest U.S. champion, dude. The Ohno Open Challenge.
He could wear his 92 Dream Team jersey.
The Cassius Ohno Challenge. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's perfect.
Connor say yeah. O'Farrell. Can you power rank?
Power rank.
The NXT superstars who you think will be going up to Maine before the end of the year in the order of likelihood they are going up. Thanks. So who is the most likely? Oh, Authors Pain, number one. Authors Pain are going before the end of the year.
Yes, for a couple of reasons. They're definitely number one. By the end of the year?
Yeah.
You think there's going to be five by the end of the year?
No.
Neither do I.
I'd be surprised if there were three.
Well, okay, you can send...
Let's take Asuka out because we know she is for sure debuting.
Yeah, she's already out.
The only real shoe-in seems like Authors of Pain.
Yeah, I know.
All right, maybe not by the end of this year, but who's next in line after Authors of Pain? Drew?
No.
After he drops the belt?
Maybe
Drew. The Rumble weekend?
It wouldn't surprise me if Vince was salivating over bringing Drew up. I told you he was the chosen one. Look at him, he's huge. He reminds me of me.
Oh, wow.
I'd say Ember Moon. I think she's going to leapfrog the title. I think she should have had the title by now, but Asuka was there. And so she's probably just going to go straight up. That's kind of my guess on her.
Especially if Kairi Sane ends up winning.
There's too many people there now. Yeah, she had her window.
Yeah.
So I'd say Ember Moon's probably next. I could see them doing something weird like sending Heavy Machinery straight up. Because, like, what else are they really going to do in NXT?
It'd be the TakeOver Rumble weekends would be really telling. Because if Undisputed Era somehow does claim all the belts, then it's conceivable that Sanity could go up.
Sanity, I could see that. I could see that.
Their packaging is ready right now.
Yeah, it is.
They are more or less across the board ready. So
let's do one more.
Almas.
Yeah, I was going to say Almas too. Yeah.
Ben Aberley. G'day, friendos. Do you think there's a chance in hell Kalisto takes the Cruiserweight title from Enzo? Also, who do you believe will be the first person that Enzo grants a title shot, if anybody? Thank you and have a wonderful day. No, Kalisto's not winning that title.
He's going to have a title shot. He's going to fight for the title.
But he's not winning.
Did they already announce that for TLC?
I don't remember.
Okay. He's not winning. He's not going to win. Mike Big Dog Demopoulos. How do you feel about Velveteen Dream also using the big elbow? And he and Sane doing it back-to-back segments. He says he thinks Clark's is better. I think they're just different. He definitely gets more air.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously that man is an athletic freak. But hers is so unique.
Yeah.
It's difficult to compare the two.
Yeah.
But.
I have no problem with both of them using them as a finisher, though.
If it's beautiful, it's beautiful.
Yes.
You can't get too much beauty. And those are the two best elbows in the business now. Iron Man, Marcus Tyler. So with the whole Young Bucks cease and desist thing, do you think WWE have shot themselves in the foot in the hopes of ever signing the Young Bucks? I don't even have to... Oh, he says, do you also think this might also hurt the chances of signing other Bullet Club members like Omega Skrull or returning Cody Rhodes, who evidently is trying to stay on good terms with WWE?
Yeah, he posted a thing on Twitter about War Games and said that WWE talked to him about it.
Mm.
They were upfront about it. Everything was fine.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
He like anticipated a potential backlash and tried to put it out before it ever really picked up any momentum.
That's good. I think they have definitely shot themselves in the foot in terms of signing the Young Bucks. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think for a second that it affects any other members of the Bullet Club. I really don't.
Not to the same degree, but Kenny might be a little stung by it because right now he and the Young Bucks are really focused on developing their brand.
I was thinking about it the other way.
I'm not saying to be a deal breaker for Kenny. But
no, you're right. You're right.
It might.
Yeah, no, I can see that. No, I could see
his
that.
Desire to kind of test the waters.
No, I could totally see that.
KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed. Hey, friend. It was just a thought, but I think Adam Cole,
baby,
should probably not do the sleeveless shirt.
That's what I need on this thing for the NXT one. See,
yes.
The Stream Deck now, they released a new thing where you can have infinite folders.
Oh.
So like I can have a folder cool. all for NXT. And I could put a baby on here.
Good.
I'll do that.
Kind of small next to the other guys. Am I crazy? No, he did look small.
Yeah, he does look small. But you can't bring Adam Cole to 205 Live, so.
No.
Ooh, good question. Kane Kirk. Are there any entrances that contend with Lars Sullivan in terms of hilarity? And I'm assuming he means, well, no, I'll just say straight up hilarity. I was going to say unintentional hilarity. But we'll just go with hilarity. Are there any other entrances that make you laugh? I always get a kick out of the Velveteen Dreams.
Yeah.
That's always great because you look at Patrick Clark's face and it's just amazing.
I still always smile at the New Day's entrance.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
When Big E gets on the mic.
Yeah, that's always good. I like when they do pelvic thrusts.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm running down some other ones.
I don't know if an entrance has made me laugh harder than HBKFC of late.
HBKFC. Oh, that's great.
Oh, goodness.
Another good question from Kane Kirk. With the abundance of three-man teams in NXT, do you think WWE should take a faction versus faction concept in storylines like New Japan rather than the tiresome heel versus face storylines? I would love to see a return of factions as long as they're organic. Like, Sanity's organic, Undisputed Era.
That seems to be where they're headed with this.
But then when you start doing stuff back in the day like the Union, they were just doing factions for the sake of
I think they had X number of people on their roster that they want to get involved, and so they're like, all right, factions across the board.
That was terrible. But when they make sense, I'm totally down with them.
Think X-Factor made sense?
I have no idea why.
Why were X-Pac, Albert, and Just Incredible? I understand Just Incredible and X-Pac because Just Incredible is like a second-tier Click member.
Oh, yeah, he's like the Chase Owens of the Click.
Yeah, he's like friendly with him.
Yeah.
But Albert, I don't get.
I think they just put him with them. And then what was the deal with the Union?
I don't remember.
I'm sure there was some
there was a storyline. Yeah, there was a storyline.
It's terrible. And then remember when they had the entire corporate ministry? It was like 20 people.
Yeah, no.
And Triple H was like in the background. Triple H became the Chase Owens of a faction.
Yeah.
That was funny. Hamza Halal. How would Dave Meltzer rate top-notch Mecha Santa 2? And would he give it a better rating than the first encounter?
Look,
man.
I mean, here I'll quote Kenny Omega, and when someone asked him about whether he's looking to top his first match against Okada, he said, "No, it's going to be a different thing."
Yeah,
and that's what it was. It was a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a wrestling match, but it was a wrestling match unlike any other.
Yeah.
There's never been a wrestling match like that. I don't know if Meltzer can say it was better or not.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely say it was different.
Yeah.
Especially the second match, that breaks any rankings there are.
Yeah.
Because it is so unique.
Yeah.
You can't compare it to anything.
I'm going to say this before we leave. I am, after the fact especially, I am so overwhelmingly proud of that match. The fact that we separately came up with the idea for the different gameplay to add them in there. Cause I'm pretty sure you and I both came up with that on our own and decided on that because of the interdimensional aspect of the characters and the ending, which couldn't have played out better in terms of the monitor being there, the power bomb.
Yeah. The drama of the whole thing,
the tap out,
me losing my mind.
that entire thing and the fact that we had like 250 people watching live. And that is, I mean, that is honestly the great thing about doing live streams is like the live reactions to people or that people give and understanding like your audience as it happens and what they're into and what they're not into. I say this with complete and absolute certainty. We're not the best WWE 2K players, but we put on the best matches of anybody playing the game. Nobody can hope to top that match. I don't care who you are, what channel you're on. Nobody's doing better than Top Notch Mecha Santa 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. So anyways, that's it for now. Thank you for tuning in. We got lots of programming this weekend. Of course, on Sunday, we've got our live stream of... we don't have our live stream of Hell in a Cell.
Our reactions.
It's our live stream of our reactions of Hell in a Cell. So that's what we're doing then. And thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.